Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. It's another chance to hear from the Lord from as He speaks from the heart. I thank the Lord for all that He's doing and everyone that He is mightily using to do His perfect will. You know, I think when I see the people of God, I see great potential. King-size potential. When the enemy sees, when Satan sees God's people, he sees a threat. He know what people can do if they will do it. He know what you can do if you will follow God. He know the power. He knows the power of following God. And as I minister that message, I minister it with a great understanding of what was possible if people would only follow God. You know, I remember though sometimes vision, sometimes Lord. Most of the time, He just tell me what would happen if a certain person actively followed Him. If some pastors would have followed God, great things would have happened. And I saw a vision of one pastor. I saw so many people I couldn't count them that would have gone through his ministry if he would have just obeyed the Lord. So when I'm not saying that he was not moral. He was moral. He was doing what was right. I believe he was a holy man. I've been healed by in his ministry before. I've been thoroughly blessed. He was a good teacher, good minister. But what I mean by following God is actively yielding to the Spirit. What if a person, as the Spirit gave them orders, they did everything the Holy Spirit told them to do? Just imagine it for a moment. Every time the Holy Spirit wake you up and alert you to something or come to you and tell you something, you don't wrestle with it. You actively do it. You use your faith to make it happen. And you don't let the devil swindle you out of the next step. What if every message you minister, you were totally yielded to the Holy Spirit? When that's the case, he will help you purge out the things that's holding you back. But what happens is, whatever people believe at the time that they're preaching, they preach it. If they agree with it, they preach it. If they're off on a tangent, when you're off on a tangent, you don't always know it. Most people who are off on a tangent, preaching a doctrine that can't really help you, they don't really know it. They don't know how bad it is. This particular church it was a holiness church. They had the dress code thing. Women couldn't wear pants. And it interrupted everything. Not only that, but a lot of other legalistic traditions that God told us not to touch. Now, when you study Colossians chapter 2, the extra rules of men, it says, touch not, taste not, handle not. Now, back when Paul wrote this, the thing of the day was Jewish traditions. They wanted the men to be circumcised. They had to keep the old law of Moses. I'm not talking about the moral law only. I'm talking about the ceremonial law, things that would help you see Jesus. Once Jesus came, we don't do away with all of the law. Jesus didn't actually do away with any of it. He fulfilled the law. So now, you don't want to go and steal and kill and hurt other people and covet after their possessions. That's not even in the equation with your brand new heart. You want to serve God. You want to love God. You want to do the right thing. So it's not necessary. You don't find the apostles telling you not to kill, steal, and destroy. They just tell you, they tell you to stay in the love of God. They had to actually tell people to avoid the old doctrines that the Pharisees was trying to put on them. And that's what he was doing in Colossians. There's no need for you to circumcise your children anymore, because now we're circumcised in the heart. That had a purpose to help us know that we were, that to help the Jews know that they were a race set apart, they were sanctioned for salvation to come through, so that Christ could come through them. The Lord used natural things to keep them in remembrance of the mission at hand. Now that he had come, there's no reason to keep the ceremony a part of the law. It's done. It did its purpose. It fulfilled the purpose for the time that it was ordained to. Now it's time to go on from that and just love each other and obey the Lord and help people know to get saved. And they were fighting salvation. They rejected the healing of God. They got mad at the apostles when they healed in Jesus' name. They wanted Jesus out of them, out of everybody's memory. And the word of God is Jesus. So they had a false misunderstanding. Well, modern times, preachers get off on tangents too. And they stray away from the heart of God's will. And we've been explaining in the last few broadcasts how some ministries have structured themselves according to Lucifer, according to Satan. I just got tongue tangled. They structured their ministries after the order of Satan, the way that Lucifer did in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. That's how they order. They believe in the echelons of life. They look down on some people and look up to others. Well, but when Jesus came, he loved everybody, even the wicked. And when he spoke parables to the Pharisees so that they might come out of that mess. Jesus, he cared about everybody. He treated everybody like they had great potential, even his enemies. He put the man's ear on that Peter cut off. He did good to everybody. He rebuked them in love, so that in hopes that they would repent. He didn't look down on people. But when people look down on others, they treat them that way. When they don't, whoever you don't value, you treat them different. That's just the way it is. So if you value people like God does, you treat them accordingly, with respect, with care. You're concerned about it. You love them. If you can, you'll try to enhance their potential. Show them that they can do greater things. Treat them like they can do great things. That's how Jesus do. All right. Now this minister that I was talking about, who I saw the vision of, he was like that. He was a very kind man, very moral. He wasn't the kind that would speak down on people, and he cared about his people. He prayed for them often. But he had the downfall was he really believed those traditions that were instilled in him. And I tried to say something about some of them, but it didn't work out. Good man of God, though. But I just told him I don't agree with that. That's not, I didn't get the chance to tell him all the reasons why. But when I joined the church, I went to through the new members class, I said, well, I don't agree with all, they talked about the dress code. They said, if you don't agree, talk to the pastor. I didn't. So I talked to him. I said, I don't agree with that. I said, that's neither here. It caused more problems than it's worth. And he said, well, he respected me for being honest with him. Because he said, I thank you for your honesty. I said, and if I preach here, I just won't say nothing about it. I'll leave it alone. But he knew from my heart where I was. And I told him that what I would, how I felt. And mine was based on what the Lord taught me years prior to that, many years prior to that. So you don't have to go along with things just because others do, even if you love them. And I loved him, and he was a person I greatly respected. But the Lord was at the same time teaching me that what would happen if he followed him. Now consider, every time the Holy Spirit brings something to your attention, and you meet it with faith, you reverence God, you receive His word, and you act on it according to your faith, and you allow your opinions to change and to transform into God's word. The opinions we come to the Lord with our opinions, but when we study the word and learn better, we're supposed to transition into the perfect will of God. Why go back to something worse when there's something better? You know, that's just the way it is. If you don't transition with the Holy Spirit, if you don't yield to Him, even the parts of God's Word that's better, you may not recognize it without His guidance. Because sometimes it takes courage. Sometimes you have to be bold. And sometimes people won't listen. But if you do, watch out, it's going to be better. And I know that what people that hold on to the past, they're going to leave. Some of them will leave. Some of them will get angry. Some of them will talk about you. That's going to happen. Some of them will come to the knowledge of God and go forward. Remember, if you built wrong for a while and you start doing the right thing, you're going to lose something. But that's all right. It was just dead weight. The Word of God said, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets you. We're not here to satisfy each other. We're here to do a mission of God. We're here to live the life of God. And whatever separates itself from that life, that's because they didn't want it or they didn't understand it. And the Holy Spirit will deal with them. And if they can be set free from that, from old dead doctrines and old dead beliefs, so be it. And if they'll stay saved, they'll go to heaven. But sometimes when you are doing the work of God, you have to do it God's way. And if God's going to promote you into His perfect will, you're going to have to do it God's way. Otherwise, you won't go. And you'll live in a stalemate, and you won't bear the fruit that you could bear. A lot of the Lord had to come up with another plan when He didn't follow Him right, just like the other ministers. And you know, there were people in place at that time that would have made the difference, that would have transitioned. But now the Lord had to do it different. Some of them have died already. And before tragedy come, the Lord will warn. He knows more than what you know. But sometimes people think they're wiser than the Holy Spirit because they treat Him that way. That's the only reason I say that. Now, they'll never say, I'm wiser than the Holy Spirit. But they certainly act like they are. They certainly act like they are. They do act like they are. When the Lord brings something to my attention, now He says something I want. I'm all ears. I want to hear it. If He says something important, how come I can't meet it with the same enthusiasm if He says something that I wanted to hear? That's not fair. I wouldn't want my children to do me that way. If I say something important, I want them to listen. If I say something they want to hear, they rejoice. But I tell them to do something that's going to make a true difference in their life that they can't see right now. They need to respect that. Because God is for us just like we're for our children. Our children don't always make the best choices, and sometimes we know it. I'm not the kind of parent that makes them do every little thing that I want them to do. I show them I do my best to show them. I give them my best advice, and it's up to them to take it when they're grown. And because they have to make their own choices, I'm not going to follow them around and tell them what to do all day. I don't have time for that. I wouldn't do it if I had time for it. They got a brain, they got a mind, they know the Word of God, they know what I've taught them, they're just going to have to use it. And when people choose not to, they just choose not to, and they'll find out. It may cost them more than they want to pay, and I know this. It can make life real ugly if you make the wrong choices sometimes, but they'll have to deal with it. But as a priest, I pray for them. And I contend for him. I fight Satan. I know Satan's all, he's trying to trick everybody. And I told him things that I knew of to watch out for, and I taught him to regard the Holy Spirit. Now, you would think that telling people that the value of the high value of following God, I can talk about it all day. And you would think that most people would listen. And a lot of people will. I believe people that listen to this broadcast they're interested in obeying the Lord. And their courage is growing so that they can. But you would think that people would love this ability. I'm going to tell you right now, this is a multi-billion dollar ability that God has given us. And I know very, very few people that take advantage of it. The value of that, the things that the Holy Spirit can do through, you know, through guiding us, can cause us to do great things. But God is wise. He's very wise. He observes everything. Now, what's big to man is not big to God. God is always looking at the heart. And I wanted to find out what would happen if I do everything he say, exactly what he say, when he say it, how he say it, and I do it on time. I wanted to see what would happen. I watch and I learn. I taught other people to follow God, so I endeavor to do that. All the knowledge I've gained about following God, I do my best to practice it. And that's why I confess that I love his will. I seek him. I condition myself to respond to his voice. Because it may be something very important that I need to do. Everything God ever taught me was more important than I thought it was. And I realized it in due time. Now, with that being said, getting to know the Lord, he has to, the way you appear, sometimes he needs you to appear a certain way. If I was very rich, then almost everybody I know would be trying to ask me my advice. But my life on the outside, it looks like the average Joe. But when people hear my words, who's attracted to it? The Lord is watching. When I'm speaking the words he gave me to speak, he's looking for people who are attracted to the Holy Spirit. Every minister of God that loves God and they preach his word, some people are attracted. Sincerity attracts sincerity. But if they have the word of God, if they love the world somewhere, the same love of God, the holy words of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, they run from it. And the light repels them. It exposes the truth in it, but people don't always want to know the truth. And that's a problem. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, he said, I'll read verse 1 through 3. He said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Then he said this, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not on every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, the people who agree with what Lucifer did that caused him to become Satan. Now, let's take away Lucifer. Let's take away Satan. Now let's just focus on what he said. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, above the clouds. This is what made Lucifer Satan. Let's put it in other words. I'm going to take care of me. I'm going to ignore you. I'm going to advance over you, and I'm not going to let you advance over me. Now, what's the difference in those words and what Lucifer actually said in his wording? But he said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Do nothing in verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That goes totally against the grain of the world. The world system will not do that. They have no intentions of doing that. They think it's stupid. They think it's foolish, and they think people will rip them off. And some people in the world will try to use you to their advantage and play you for a fool because you love them. But with your love, the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom, and he'll give you instructions. If you're detailed enough to hear him out, he'll show you how you can help people to win souls. Some people are going to run no matter what you do, and they're not going to go to heaven because they think all this stuff that you're doing, the light, the love that you have, that's for children and old women. They think it's stupid. They're not going to do it. They're going to rebel till they take their last breath, and the devil going to get them. Now, so ministers have bought into the Satan's timeshare. And they allow his logic in their ministry. And they can't perform these scriptures here in Philippians chapter 2. Half the things they do is out of strife and vainglory because they want to be preeminent. They're not going to serve other people. They'll get somebody else to do it. They're not going to look every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. They're not going to do that. If they can get away with people serving them, that's what they'll do. And they think it's crazy to do like Jesus. But they won't say that. That's how they act. I'm not talking about every man of God. I'm talking about the ones that there are people out there that would do this. Now, I'm not bashing preachers. I'm just allowing you to see what can stop people from actively following the Holy Spirit. It's important. It's too important to ignore. The Lord warned Timothy about these kind of things. In Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, I think I'm correct. It's not that verse. Paul wanted to warn Timothy about the last days. And he was instructing him how to be a blessing to people and what to watch out for. And he said that there would be people who will heap to themselves, they have itching ears, and they heap to themselves preachers that will say what they want to hear and not minister according to the glory of God. And these are the days that we live in. Now, let's look at, I'm going to come back to that scripture. Because I have to find the perfect one. But the Lord did put 2 Peter on my heart. So we're going to look at 2 Peter, first chapter 1. Chapter 1 reads, grace and peace be multiplied. Now this is 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm starting at verse 2. He said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The knowledge of God. That's one of the seven spirits of the Holy Spirit. The seven man, you know, the spirit of knowledge. Verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature is the mind of Christ. doing, treating people the way you want to be treated, treating people like God treats people. That's the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption of the world through lust. And this, my friend, will rescue you from all things, because if you're in the love of God, your faith will work. You contribute to other people knowing God. And remember, you got to be rewarded for it. You got to be rewarded for it. Spiritually, on the other side, and naturally. And your reward can be anything you need. You do not serve God and go out broke. That never happens. You will have great spiritual wealth, and it can come back to you in many forms, whatever you need, even extended time. Now, we'll get to that later. We touched on it earlier. All right. He said, verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. That's, charity is active love, you know. We'll revisit this and break it down even further. Now watch this. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these things are abounding in you, and those times when you get to where you don't know what to do, you will see what to do. You will receive. You will be received. You will live. When you love others, you're in a state of reception and willingness to obey God. Because if you can love man no matter what, you can trust God no matter what. Love is light. When you're walking in love, you can see better. You can see things for what they are. And you know the pain of others and your pain, things you're going through. But look what it said. If these things be in you and abound, now that's love working with faith. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You won't have the times where you're barren, you feel despondent, you don't know what to do anymore. That will evaporate. That's what he's saying. You won't be barren. You'll learn what to do. You'll see what to do. The Lord will guide you. Because remember, you're acting on the love of God according to these scriptures. Now watch this. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now he's in a condition where he forgot about his own debt that it was paid. He forgot about his sin debt that Jesus paid, and he forgot that he needed a Savior, because he lacks the love of God and he fails to act on it. So because his heart is not set according to the divine nature, the mind of Christ, the love of God, the natural love of God, they become blind and can't see afar off. All they see is what they're after. They have no clue of how they're affecting other people and the destruction of their ways. And then it comes to the point they forgot that they were purged from their old sin. Their gratitude is gone. And verse 10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So if you do the things from verse 3 to verse 8, you will never fall. Never fall. How about that? You never backslide. You never falter. You never fall. You never turn your back on God. You never say those mumbling words. Angry. You don't get mad at the Father. You go forward. You never fall. You don't slip anymore. How you gonna sin against somebody that you love? Now, Now look at verse chapter 2. We're going to get to chapter 2 next time. There was so much that that the Lord had given me, and he's going to he's moving by spirit. Verse 2 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, denying the Lord that brought them." So that meant that they were saved at one time, "and bring upon themselves swift destruction." They didn't stay in the love of God. Now, if everybody stayed in the love of God, Peter wouldn't have had to write this. He said the Lord that bought them. Some people will turn back to the vomit of this world and eat it. They'll go right back to this nasty world. Now watch verse 2. "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Remember, the Lord had me saying in the last few broadcasts that, and in several broadcasts, when you start loving the world, you're going to become the enemy of God. The only way not to become the enemy of God and the enemy of the anointing and the enemy of his purpose and the enemy of God's people is to stay in the love of God. They ended up speaking evil of the truth. And these pastors, and you know, what's going to happen is they wouldn't turn, they wouldn't yield to the Holy Spirit, so the Lord's going to allow them to believe a lie. And the lie is going to cause them to be obvious, so people can know to leave them alone. Now, we're out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to bless those that hear him out. Till next